Welcome back. This is Chris. Did you know that the Mac OS first came out in 2001, which is different from the classic Mac OS? And did you also know that Apple has a list of products that are considered as vintage? Brad, did you know that your name is on that list?
Chris, thank you. I know I'm vintage. Some things get finer with age. Chris, do you know how many feet are in a mile? And this is Brad. This week's episode is brought to you by the word fallacy. Not to be confused with the word phallic symbol, fallacy. A mistaken belief, especially one based on unsound argument. The note, a failure in reasoning, which renders an argument invalid. Faulty reasoning, misleading or unsound argument. James. I know of a couple fallacies. The first fallacy is, I do not eat frozen pizza. The only pizza that I will eat that's frozen is the pizza that I make. And if I have extras, I will throw it in the freezer for it to last. I do not buy frozen pizza. That's fallacy number one. Fallacy number two is, let's start recording early. Okay, James, as he disappears for 20 minutes and Chris and I are standing here staring at each other. Third fallacy, James, who will profess that he's the most technically competent when it comes to hardware infrastructure, has the worst setup because we just sat here for 20 minutes as he dropped connection and we're trying to wait for James to connect. So dude, we've been waiting for over 40 minutes for James. James, welcome back.
Thank you. It's been fantastic. Brad, we missed you last week. And definitely, what can I say? When someone calls with an emergency, I prioritize helping others more than both of you. At least this week.
Wait a second.
So welcome, everyone.
You prioritize helping others more than we prioritize others? Or do you prioritize
others? No, I prioritize helping them more than your time.
Okay, so we're not a priority.
Yeah, I mean, you're a priority for me, my friend.
But you just said somebody else was more of a priority.
But yeah, you know what? That's the thing about priorities. You can have more than one of them, and they do get ranked.
Listen, just be quiet, because you may end up in that freezer.
I love you, bro. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is James. This is our weekly Whiskey and Widget podcast, where your whiskey is the bee's knees and your widgets integrate with Windows. Thank you for joining us this week, my friends.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone. So all three of us are back on the same recording. I know we've kind of been switching back and forth, but continue to follow us on Instagram, Whiskey and Widgets. If you're curious of what we're drinking today on this episode, and number two, if you want to interact with us, whiskeyandwidgets@gmail.com. And where else can they follow us?
They can follow us on Twitter, which I still haven't checked in 3-4 weeks. I have to get on there and start posting. But I do like, James, your Hawaiian shirt. It looks like a Hawaiian shirt with flowers. And you were back into the pantry, I see, or the butler's pantry. Is doing some fresh squeezed lemons. Chris, what are you drinking over there?
To comment on James' shirt, I actually bought one this weekend. I've seen a few of you guys been wearing it. No, I bought a similar shirt, like a flower Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah,
so I bought one of them. So I'm going to wear that today.
Nice.
Brad, I'm drinking Basil Hayden Toast.
Nice.
It's a Kentucky Straight bourbon whiskey, and it's supposed to give me a sweet caramel finish. It's supposed to taste toasted wood, vanilla, and light mouthfeel. I don't know what that means.
But well, light mouthfeel is going to indicate that it's less, it's not as thick or viscous in the mouth. Someone might also say that it's a light mouthfeel to relate to like a freshness in the mouth. So, have you ever had like cucumber water?
Mm-hmm.
So you know how that just feels light? Where like you could also have a different liquid, maybe like a lemonade, and it just feels heavier.
Light mouth field.
Yeah, field. Lots of Excuse different me. Ways to interpret
light
that, frankly.
Mouth feel. I'm going to
depending
use
on
that
who you are. That said, Chris, I really enjoy Basil Hayden. I really much so like their rye over their bourbons. If I remember correctly, they're
James,
toasted.
James, do two things at once. You stopped making a drink to talk.
Yeah, you're right.
Make your drink. Let's go.
Their toasted was so strong on the side of the toasting that to me, it felt like it was very caramel forward and then like toasted wood. And that was basically it. All of the flavor of the grains behind the scene were gone to me, which is why it's not my preference. Do you get that? Or do you feel like it's a little bit more balanced? Like, can you still taste the grain, the mash bill? Like, what's that like for you?
I don't taste that at all. It's very caramel heavy. Mm-hmm. I can certainly taste the caramel. It's very sweet. I do taste the like wood, smoked or charred toasted wood. I could taste that, but anything else, I'm not sure what light mouthfeel is, but I don't know. It's pretty light. It's good. I think it's good, but I am serving it on a stone ice.
Ice.
But yeah, Brad, what are you drinking, man?
I am drinking. My supply is running low, and I have not had the opportunity to restock my whiskey selection because now you both have turned me on to this whiskey. I'm drinking a repeat of something that I had before. I'm drinking the Bullet. But I upgraded the glass because I'm sick of pouring multiple glasses. So I have a big jug or big boy glass of whiskey full of ice. So I only have to drink this. I drink this whole thing. I think I'll fall on the floor, but that's okay.
You're drinking like a college kid then. That's what it looks like.
That's funny.
Listen, when you're vintage, you can do it. James, I do want to say thank you for reminding Chris for the mail call. I did listen to the episode upon, my return to, cyber world. And I must say, Chris, when it's a heat wave, nobody cares. If you're hot and you had plenty of time to look up how many feet are in the mile, quickly, let's go.
51, 26.
Chris, 5,028. Let's go. Come on, Chris. Chris, how many feet in a football field?
I don't know.
Chris, how many yards?
100 yards.
Okay, 300 how many feet
yards.
In the yard?
300 feet.
There you go. Quick. Okay, feet. Good. James, I thought you taught him last week how many feet were in a mile.
I did. Dude, bro. That moment where you thought you had enough whiskey left in your bottle, you pour it into your jigger and it's not enough.
Jigger what?
And now your ratios are all screwed.
Chris. Another one.
Yeah.
How many kilometers are in a kilometer?
How many?
One.
Kilometers in a kilometer?
James, that was for Chris.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Dang it.
Chris, how many kilometers in a kilometer?
How many kilometers in a kilometer? What?
How many kilometers are in a kilometer?
One.
Good. James, thank you. James is sitting there standing in the computer holding up the finger of one.
I appreciate the help.
So,
you will miss me when I'm gone.
Dude, I do miss you whenever you're gone. This week, I'm making a drink that I've done in the past. It's been a bit, called the Bee's Knees. And it's a very good drink. I'm a little bit a mess in my space today, but it's delightful. So Bee's Knees, it's a very simple drink for anybody that wants to make it at home. The core ingredients that you use are really, really important because it is a simple three-ingredient drink. But it is honey that you turn into a simple syrup. You do that to make sure that it can actually properly incorporate into the drink when cold. Otherwise, a honey will just stick out to the side of your shaker. And it also dilutes it so it's not too strong. So I do a 1/2 ounce of that. I do a 3/4 ounce of a freshly squeezed lemon, which is really nice. And you need 2 ounces of gin.
This week, I'm doing a Bar Hill Reserve Tom Gin.
which is a really nice gin. It's barrel aged.
Whenever he shake, whenever you James, shake it, James, you get muffled because it's
yeah. Where do you go? You mute it. You mute it.
Yeah, that's my system's trying to make sure that I'm not crushing your ears when I'm shaking. But it's barrel aged, and so you got a really nice flavor in this gin that you otherwise wouldn't necessarily get in a gin. So that's it's an exciting change of pace.
Did he disappear too? There he is.
I had to get my ice and my glass away. So you drop your big ice in the bottom of the glass.
Brad, did you see that big old block of ice there?
Yeah. Pour that in.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's like.
Is this the clear ice thing stuff?
Yeah.
I missed some of that. I was too busy listening, trying to fast forward the 3-hour hot conversation, you know, the on the news that 99% of the United States is in a heat wave and we have to tell everybody that it's hot.
So this is my drink this week.
Wow, look at that. That's beautiful. I still need to drink with you.
You do.
It's like a pineapple drink.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Goes with your shirt.
I'm going to take a photo of it. It's fitting. For the Instagram, you need to put a little. See if I can get the smoke wisps coming off of it because it's so hot and humid.
Oh, I have a picture of me smoking a whiskey I have to send you.
Nice. Dude, you see you have a, what are those, like, soda pop rack there? Not refrigerated. Oh, yeah.
See, Chris put us in the butler pantry so we can see his club crackers. Hold on, I like to do this just like we did with, James, put it back. I want to see what's on your shelf.
All right, that's what's on my is my that tuna shelves.
Fish? Is that canned tuna?
Yeah, I got cats.
Oh, cat food.
Okay, it's cat food.
That's dangerous, man. It's close to, like, human food.
You have club. Well, some
fucking read the label and you don't have to worry about it. You know, like this thing's got a picture of a cat on it. So maybe you're
listen,
good,
listen, you should not give your animal something that you would not be able to eat yourself.
I agree.
Because animals are beings as well. They're organisms. They have the same type of thing. Yes, they may need more protein or they may need more of a certain vitamin than others. Right. Everybody has a balance, but you should be able to eat a can of your cat food without any issues.
This is a damn good gin, guys.
I'm still trying to see what's on your shelf. What type of pasta is that? Or is that just a whole 700 boxes of club crackers?
Where?
I love cheese and crackers. Pub cheese.
Up over here?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Cremette brand, which is really common in the Midwest. So.
Cremette brand pasta?
Yeah.
I don't eat a lot of pasta, but I did buy pasta today just in case because I wanted to make my own mac and cheese. I bought protein pasta. Never heard of it.
Yeah, the protein pasta is going to have your good proteins in it. I'm not super into having protein in my pasta. I'm going to like throw chicken in there if I want protein. I'll let my pasta be pasta. What are you doing for your mac? How are you making it? What kind of cheese are you putting in it? Yeah. Tell me about it. You just stumbled into a guy that really likes mac. So tell me about your recipe.
Listen, I usually don't make mac and cheese other than like a can of Annie's, a box of Annie's, because I don't eat it much. I'll go out to get it. But I want to make some noodles. So I'll put a little Parmesan, put a little butter, put some cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll make it with.
You can't have enough butter, man.
Sometimes a pulled pork. You know, a good pulled pork with mixed with mac and cheese is good.
I made pulled pork a couple of weeks last week. It's good.
So that's good. Yeah. So it's good to be back. Good to be back. Now this drink is going to see. This is the problem. I have to go back to the smaller glass because the bigger glass I drink it just like it's a glass of water because that's what I'm usually drinking out of this.
So that's not necessarily as big of a problem. But the best part about having a smaller glass is you have a consistency in the glass. Because you want to make sure that your last sip is either the same as your first or evolved intentionally to be different than the first. You never want it to just be overly diluted. So that's why like glassware sizes are really important.
Understood. Good. Got it. Well, if I had some of those fancy balls that you have, then I wouldn't have any water. But now it will be diluted by the time I get there. So I don't know.
I'm going to make myself a second one because that one was too good. And
you already drank that? Did you give it to your wife?
You downed it?
Yeah, see, he's trying to play. Look at this.
No,
James, why don't you make two at the same time? Like if you were at a bar
Well, because I didn't
you
know
couldn't
she
put two glasses
one.
Next to each other.
I didn't know she wanted one. I was walking by and she's like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Yeah."
Can't you tell her? Listen, let's explain to her that when you're working like this, this is a production. We can't have interference.
You know, but hey, you get to see me make a cocktail a second time.
Production.
Chris. Yes, how many feet in a mile?
I didn't hear you.
You didn't hear me? How many feet are in a mile?
5290.
Jeez. Note to self.
Chris. Chris.
Close. 5280.
Yes. We need to send you a shirt or something that says, you know, my name is Chris. I know how far a mile is.
Oh shit! This is too hilarious.
We need to take Chris on a motorcycle ride and then like just discuss the whole thing in terms of feet instead of miles, because that makes sense.
You know, I do wish that we did not use the imperial system and wish that we used the metric system. I just will say that. It's just so much easier. I don't understand why we can't change at this point. You know, I mean, I think even if they started phasing some of the stuff out, we could. I mean, it's just so much easier to have a universal.
I mean, especially if you're traveling to another country, you don't feel lost.
Well, it's just easy. You know, you want to divide, Chris, how many kilometers in a kilometer?
What? How many kilometers in a kilometer?
Yeah. But it's the same thing. It's like you can have, you know, meters, kilometers, millimeters, centimeters. Like it's an easy transition. With us, it's like, okay, how many feet are in a yard? There's 3 feet in this. And then you have a cup. And then you have, you know, a gallon. And then you have, you know, a mile. And then you have half mile. You know, it's just so much easier to have, you know, one thing universal. That you can easily convert without having to do some
universal language
in a calculator.
It'd be James, cool though if you have a
James
universal
has a
language
up close and personal and it's muted. I want to hear the ice and the pouring. I see it. It's beautiful. But James, you need to get a prop mic. So when you're making your drinks and pouring it, like you have that fancy mic which you've yet to use.
Oh, I use it all the time for work.
James, you bought it for this under the guise of using it for work. And the only time you don't use it is when you're supposed to use it.
I mean, I use it for work all the time.
It's been used. Hey, talk about Universal. Really quick, you know that movie Arrival? Universal language? Man, imagine if we had a universal language as well.
I do not know this movie. Tell me more about this
movie. I do not know that movie either.
Oh, Arrival. It's the guy that plays... there's two main characters. The guy that plays Hawkeye is in the movie.
Hawkeye
and then
from
the
Nash?
Girl.
A Hawkeye from Marvel.
Marvel. And then the female lead... She plays Superman's wife, Lois Lane, from Man of Steel. Forgot her name.
Amy Adams.
Yeah. And so she's both of them in that movie. It's a wonderful movie. Basically, the premise. You guys haven't seen it. I'm not gonna, you know, have any spoiler. You guys should watch it. I think it's a great movie. Basically, aliens arrive. They have a spaceship that kind of lays out across different continents. And they offered us a weapon, and they couldn't figure out what that weapon is. And so that's the premise. And so whoever gets it right would get that weapon, whoever at least accepts it from them. But
interesting.
Check it out.
You know, speaking of Universal, I really was thinking of this the other day as far as foreign languages are concerned, because I was listening to another podcast. And they were talking about, you know, Google Translate. I know we spoke about this before, but real-time translation. And I was thinking, you know, is it necessary to learn a foreign language anymore because of the ability to translate on your phone either real time or recorded, yeah, as well as written. So even if you want to type something and show it to somebody, they would understand what you're saying. And will that eventually morph us into a universal language, or the inability to speak and we just communicate with the phone?
Your own.
Yeah, not, yeah, not with, yeah, the phone, not with the phone in the sense of talking, the phone in the sense of typing, texting, writing.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting, because it makes you wonder, like, do I even bother learning another language? If something's going to translate it for me, do I even want to do it? Right?
Yes. And I mean, even if you look at how much do people retain as far as, you know, mathematical calculations, I used to be able to calculate a lot of stuff quickly. Yeah. And now that you have like a calculator, spreadsheets, you know, I can pop up Excel quickly, put in two cells, do this times that, you know,
yeah,
it's do people forget, you know, what they know?
Yeah, but it's also a positive side too. It's like it keeps certain languages alive at the same time, because now we have an archive or a repository for languages, which is what Google's doing, because there are a lot of languages out there that are sort of, you know, going extinct. Right. And I do like the fact that Google's trying its best to do that.
James, you're outside. Hey, you're frozen. Hey. You have some great networking over there.
You need to have
Comcast
inside.
Come and check your your internet connection.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you even hear us?
Go back.
I don't
inside.
Know. I see him. He's outside. I see his house and his doorway. And now he's frozen again.
Yeah. James, no, he was doing good. He just had to sit in that one chair. And he would have
been
fine.
Sitting in that one chair, frozen. So no, that's I was thinking about that the other day with that. You know, where are we going with language and communication? You know, because even now, I think a lot of people prefer a text message over telephone. A lot of people, you know, with that text messaging, you can
or dance if you're a TikToker.
I don't use TikTok.
You dance to communicate.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, movement is a sign of communication. You have sign language. You have, you know, several ways to communicate. So I think dancing is valid. James, why'd you come back inside? Because the network wasn't working outside?
Yeah. It was actually because there was a lot of noise outside. So I had to go on mute. Yeah, I just closed it right away because somebody pulled up with a very, very loud stereo.
Oh.
If you can feel it pumping in your chest, it's probably too loud for a podcast.
Well, I apologize for accusing you of not having adequate coverage.
Yeah, for someone in IT.
And oh, you froze it again. See, this is priceless. I told you, Chris, once I get that other area set up, we'll be able to do videos and we'll record this live and we'll see your face pixelated with your poor internet connection. James as well. You know, I'm the only one that everybody laughed at originally that I had Comcast come out and work with me and I bought a new router and such, but now look at me.
Yeah, you're set. There you go. James is back.
James is back.
His internet's working.
Sorry about that, guys.
It's okay. You didn't miss much.
I ended up having to walk through a complete dead space because I was trying to avoid very loud noises. And then when I did get back in, it ended up dropping and re-adding. But, yeah, man, it's a good time.
Good time. So, hey, I've been contemplating about something, and I need you guys' opinion from both perspective. Okay.
From which perspectives? My perspective and James' perspective.
Both.
Or from
the both
Wisconsin and East Coast.
New Hampshire. So I talked about macOS. Just really quick, because I've been contemplating. So, you know, my wife took my MacBook, so she's fully using it now. And so I need a replacement, right? You know, I use Windows for work stuff, but I'm contemplating if I should get a new MacBook or get a desktop like a Mac Mini, to replace for personal use. So What should
I
do?
Have an iMac desktop. I have an iPad. I have an iPhone. The ecosystem's amazing. I think you need to take a look at what you're going to do. What are you going to have when you need to be mobile?
Here's the real question. Yeah. What are you planning on using this for that you couldn't just use your work equipment for?
There's several things. Like, for example, when I'm editing this stuff, I am using
podcast, Chris.
This podcast. I'm using a lot of Apple specific application, like Final Cut Pro. I'm also using GarageBand, things like that, that are just specific to that. I'm sure there's replacements out there that I can just use the work laptop to do that. But personal use, I do like the ecosystem. So, you know, I'm just torn.
You can't beat the ecosystem.
I posted this, by the way, about the new thing that they talked about was using your iPad as your secondary monitor. Like, I thought that was amazing because then I don't have to buy an external monitor now. I already have an iPad. I'll just use that as my external monitor.
But Chris, is your use case just the sound editing for this podcast?
No. So it's beyond that. It's like personally, I do use, Final Cut Pro for personal projects.
Chris would heavily. Like to separate his personal and professional life and have a hard line between the two.
I'm okay with the separation. It's just depending on what you're trying to do. Like you just said you like using Final Cut Pro, right? Like, are you super attached to it? Because I personally think that the Adobe stack is better. And, you know, fight me IRL for anybody that wants to disagree.
I love the Adobe stack. Premiere Pro, Lightroom, Photoshop, right here.
Yeah.
They work amazing.
If you're trying to do creative stuff, though, I'd actually argue that they're not as good of experience on a Mac as they are on a PC.
You do not know what you're speaking about, James, because hold on. I have an iPad Pro, I have an iPhone, and I have an iMac. Mm-hmm. I can edit a photo on my iPad, start editing my photo in Lightroom, okay? Or Photoshop, right? But I'll say Lightroom because that's what I do mostly. I can start editing that on my iPad, put my iPad down, go over to my iMac, open up Lightroom, boom, same exact spot that I was editing on my iPad. I can make some edits, boom, pick up my iPhone. Same exact spot, then go back to my iPad. The ecosystem is far better than any Windows ecosystem you could put together. Blue screen of death, spinning mouse, applying updates. But that's where I was getting into. I mean, you can get software applications to do it with the performance, but if you want that portability, that ecosystem, I'm telling you, get a nice desktop where you have the horsepower, then take your iPad out because there aren't many things you can't do on your iPad, okay? You can install Cisco VPN if you need to do a VPN. You can use RDP if you want to remote in. I've used my iPad to remote desktop into Windows machines and do work with a mouse and a keyboard on my iPad.
Yes, so that is my struggle. I mean, James, you're right. You know, there's a tool out there, Adobe have a really good video editing software. But at the same time, I have Final Cut Pro that can do what I need without paying that on a monthly subscription thing. I just paid it one time. But that is my struggle because my family is also on the ecosystem. So being able to iMessage and all this stuff makes it easy. I do have a workaround for text. I use messages.google.com that allows me to text via browser. But
yeah, but you just
that's where I'm struggling. But it's
you just need to get it.
So hold on, Chris. Let me just confirm. Your whole family has iPhones. You have an iPad. Your wife has a MacBook Pro. And you want to be able to collaborate with all of these people that are using these products. Listen, I'm not an Apple guy.
Why?
But why are you resisting at that point? You've already committed to having your whole family on it. You've already made this decision. You're trying to like second guess it. Like, why?
Well, there's two things, right? I don't want to have to carry two machines, right? Like I use it for work. This is like my livelihood right here in front of me, what I'm using it for. but then I don't want to have to jump into a separate laptop. So if I'm traveling, like I want to be able to take, I know we have like VDI
then
stuff like
why,
that.
But... I was going to say, then why don't you remote desktop into your work stuff? Like you're making it complicated. You can use your Apple ecosystem. I mean, there's so many other features. You have AirDrop, you have handoff, right? I can enter notes on my task list on one. I can share all that stuff.
Hold on, Brad, you're doing feature benefit list and that's not even needed. We can just back up for a minute. Chris, you have the ability to run all of that on the work machine. The only reason this even comes up is because you wanted to separate work from personal. At which point, if that's the fundamental objective,
then you have to carry.
Then you have to have two machines, and it doesn't matter. So it does not matter. Like,
wait a second, James. This will summarize it all. Chris, how many feet are in a mile?
Yeah, Chris, how many feet are in a mile?
I don't know, 52.79.
Chris,
he's just doing it to fuck with.
Yeah,
you
he now, he did that one to mess with us. But James has a point. If you're doing it for separation, in my opinion, if you're going to remote into your work computer with your personal computer, you do have your separation. All of your work stuff is being handled in a work environment. You're not storing anything on there, and you're not storing any of your personal information on
just be aware that formally speaking at our work there, we do not at work support for our own use any Apple products.
Right.
We support our customers that use it, but internally we decided not to do that.
Right.
That said, I think your decision seems pretty obvious.
All right, sounds good.
I'd like to do a quick call out to anybody though on a widget this week that I've been playing around with a fair bit. And I've been using this for a long time, but some of the more recent updates, and I guess not everybody knows that this exists. So if you are able to set aside any qualms you have about surveillance, about somebody watching you, about people knowing what you're doing, and you can accept that using a cell phone today, whether it's Android or iPhone, right? And let's be realistic, there's no alternatives. It's one of those two. You're in one of those ecosystems, or you're not using a smartphone, okay? If you can accept that one of those two groups is watching you, there's some pretty stinking cool features. And I wanted to highlight a feature that exists if you are Windows and Android. And that is called Phone Link. So Phone Link is Microsoft's integration with your Android so that you can use and control your Android phone from your Windows PC. So like years ago, I used to run a tool so I could remote into my phone so I could demonstrate things on my phone to somebody if I was doing like presentations. I also, for a very, very long time, Androids had messaging opportunities where you could do messaging in the browser to be able to send text messaging from your phone number, and you could do all that. And that was cool because you could actually link that in with chat applications and IRC, if you're old enough to remember what that is. But this was all stuff. Well, you can do something a little bit more now, and you can actually use Phone Link to control your phone. I've been using that for a while, and it's actually pretty useful because you can use any apps on it. You can see the screen, and you can answer phone calls that come in from it. So pretty nifty overall, free to use.
So did they update that? I know I tried it last year, but it was still kind of limited. But this is really cool, the Phone Link. I know it was still limited in the early days, but sounds like what you're saying is, you know, they've made significant changes to it in terms
have been some significant changes to Phone Link. So generally speaking, you can handle anything that would be happening on your phone, your settings tray that's in the top, like you can actually open and edit your settings features.
Oh, wow.
Chris,
yeah.
Just to let you know, on my iPad, on my iMac, and my iPhone, I can make phone calls and I can do FaceTime And I can do all
these. Yes, Brad. And you can do these things in Windows. It's just a lot of people.
Without an additional app.
The thing is, congratulations. Permission.
I can text. I can iMessage. You know, enter an iMessage on my phone. Go over to my iMac. Do an iMessage there. Read them. Right. Need to do a FaceTime.
Brad, are you the sort of person, Brad, that you would prefer that all decisions in life are made for you and that you don't have to grant permission for changes in your life? Are you that sort of person, Brad?
James, there's only 24 hours in a day. Mm-hmm. I need to control. I value my time. I value every minute, every second. If I don't need to worry about all these installations and configurations, and I can pick up my iPhone, start a conversation, hit a little button, and boom, it moves to my iMac when I sit down. And then I want to get up and go to the bathroom. Boom, it goes to my iPad. I'm there. There's no decision. It works.
So
I'm not.
Let me ask you this then, James. No, I think this is great because I was aware of
this. Why'd you guys shut off your video?
No, I can see James.
I can't see anybody. I just see, is somebody sharing their screen?
No. Hey, Brad, do you need to submit a support case for learning how to use your technology on your computer? Is it not eco-integrated enough for you, my friend?
James, I get it. So do you have to have a Samsung device for this to work?
For PhoneLink to work?
Yeah. I'm testing it right now. It says like it's for select Microsoft and Samsung devices.
That could be the case. I have a Samsung phone. I had a Pixel phone and I used it on my Pixel phone.
I'm gonna shut off my camera too.
Dude, that's on you, man. I can see James.
Yeah.
You're messing with me.
We're not messing.
Okay. No,
I'll turn my camera off and back on for you, Brad. Yeah. Okay. It's. I mean, it's all right. Everybody listening to us right now, they can't see our faces anyways. It's all good.
But I like to see your face.
Here's the thing I'm trying to make sure I convey to everybody. If you are on Android and you're listening to Brad and you're like, oh, man, this ecosystem thing, it sounds so wonderful. Oh, I love all the propaganda that he's addicted to. And you think that sounds great. You don't have to sell everything and go get a new mortgage to buy all Apple stuff. There are ways to do it. And the difference is,
James,
he's
sounds
right.
Like somebody who the doesn't know
is,
how to use this stuff.
The difference is,
jealousy
Brad,
will get you nowhere.
The difference is, Brad is correct. Apple does have a good ecosystem that's all integrated, has all of the things you want. It's intuitive to use, and it happens, and it works out of the box. And that's kind of their thing. They want to make it easy and approachable. Android and Windows and a lot of other things, they take the approach of saying you can use the feature if you want. You have to consent to do it. And they're all about consensual interaction. Apple takes advantage of you and says you don't have to consent. We're just going to go ahead and make these decisions for you.
James.
I'm sorry, Brad, if you don't like to consent.
No. I'm okay. I'm okay with your alleged argument. But I have a couple key questions that I want you to answer honestly, please. Okay? Please.
Yeah. We're going to do for you, but
ever
go ahead.
Used an iMac?
Yes.
Okay. For
multiple
how long?
Times.
For how long?
I used an iMac as my main workhorse computer for over 2 years. And actually, if you go back, I used one of the iMac colors. Do you remember those, Brad?
James, I'm talking about like recently, just because.
Yeah, last time I used one.
I used a bike with training wheels back in 1961.
All right. The last time I used an iMac.
Bicycles have evolved a lot since then.
The last time I used an iMac for a sustained period of time was probably 2014, 2016, somewhere between those 2 years.
Okay, so your
The last time I worked with an iMac and helped someone with one was within the last few years. But the last time it was something where I had one was back then.
Okay, James, I use a Windows 11, Windows 10 machine every day, mm-hmm. along with my iMac. See, mm-hmm. so I can have a factual conversation about the differences between the two. You are basing your argument to use Windows on information from 2014, or frustrations that you had because you couldn't figure out how to use an iMac recently.
I never shared a problem with Apple products as a result of not being able to figure out how to do something. My biggest concerns with their ecosystem is that of permissions and consent, as well as that of your overall control and flexibility. Apple makes good products, guys. I have an iPad. I have plenty of people that try to convince me to go into the Apple ecosystem. I bought the first iPhone when it was released. I've used Apple products in the past.
Did you also get the G1, the first one, the first Google from T-Mobile?
I didn't jump on the Google train until later. And the thing is, that's okay. It's important just to share out to anyone listening, use the product you have access to and know that there are solutions that'll help you get where you want to go. And there are ways to integrate, connect, and improve your use of technology, and you don't have to spend a fortune to do it. Now,
yeah.
If you're Chris, just like, damn, bro, this thing's awesome. I'm going to go buy a new thing and screw all reason and logic. It doesn't matter that my whole family uses this platform. I'm using a different one. And then you're going to later decide, damn, bro, this thing was cool, but I got to use the same platform as my family. And then you buy that one too. And then you just have both. I mean, you could be Chris. You could channel that. Or you could just pick the tool.
I love the tech, but I've been using the Mac OS for a long, long time. And, you know, it's part of the requirement, right? Like I got to support Windows and Microsoft, and I also love the Microsoft ecosystem and product, but I'm always torn when I get to that point where I have to decide if I need to upgrade or update. I'm always torn of what to use. Like, should I? Because right now I have an Android phone, James. So, but everything I have, an iPad, I have a MacBook, but I also use Windows. So I'm kind of right in between. So anytime that I have to make a big decision in terms of purchases, in this case, it's always difficult.
So, Chris, you're right, and that's fair. And listen, there's a sentiment that says that millennials shop differently than the generations before. Our default modus operandi is to say, "Let's go Google best of thing and today's year," to try and get some review that says this is the best. And then, like the great sheeple we are, we go and follow that review, and that is now the best thing, and therefore that's what we do. To Brad's point, I think it's important that you can evaluate and make decisions for yourself and use knowledge and information that's available to you. You don't have to own a thing to have an opinion on it, but you should definitely try to have the most recent information.
You should
try it out. Go to the store.
You don't have to own a thing to make an opinion on it. It's just correct. But for you to make an opinion on something, you have to have enough, and I'll use some of these words loosely because it depends on what that thing is. You need to have enough experience with that thing to make an opinion, right?
This is fair.
Whatever it is. If you don't like the way a color looks and you go to see the color and compare it to other colors, yes, you can say, I don't like the way that color works or looks, excuse me. But to say that you don't like the Apple ecosystem and you've only used the Mac back in 1961, I don't think you have enough experience.
There were no Mac computers in 1961,
wait,
Brad.
Hold on. How does that work? Like, if you're shopping for a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you have to own that car.
No, Brad's saying you have to buy every car and then you return it that you don't like it. You got to go buy it and own it.
Have you ever rented a car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But not every rental place have those cars.
Chris, cars you can read reviews on, cars you can test drive, cars you can rent.
Same thing with an Apple phone.
Okay.
But then at the same time, you're limited to that.
If you have a certain brand, a vehicle, and make and model, and they come up with new ones.
I'm just going to say, episode title for today is Making Product Assessment Harder Than It Needs to Be.
It is hard, dude.
I just want to say that I'm feeling attacked by the two of you. I am the
victim. Oh, man.
Dude, I'm neutral, man. I'm on the Max Pro West side. But you
just said that I can't rent a vehicle.
Well, yes.
Not if you're too young. Brad, look at your youthful face. You can't rent vehicles at your age. You got to be at least 25.
Yeah, you look
25.
Like our age. You look like younger than us. You're younger. You look like you're younger than us, dude.
I thought James was older than us.
Oh, shit.
Are you really? We have to talk about that. Am I the oldest?
I don't know.
You're
I'm the
baldest,
baldest,
man.
Listen, I'm the baldest. Chris is the best looking, and you're the most fit.
Hardly.
I think that's the answer. You're the most fit. Chris is the best looking, and I'm the most bald. That's if we want to say what our ists are. Those are our ists.
Oh, Brad's a good looking dude, man. And he has the accent too at the same time. He has it all, dude.
Now I don't feel attacked anymore. Keep going, Chris. Talk to me.
Yeah.
What else do people like?
Listen to that voice.
He has it all.
Tell me, Chris. Do you...
You got the radio voice, man. Come on. He's an Easterner, East Coast.
I should podcast for a living. Excuse me.
Brad has lived three lives and still looks younger than all of us.
I know, man.
Because I drink a lot of water. I tell it, but it's a secret. James, why don't you pay me to do a podcast for you? Every day, I'll talk to people. They can call. They'll be like, good afternoon. This is James's good afternoon. Thank you for calling James Hotline. How may we help you today?
Yeah, I feel like that's sending some vibes that are not what I'm digging on, bro. Like, what is this hotline for?
How would you feel if I caressed your back?
Probably a little awkward.
Whispered in your ear.
You know, it depends on what you're whispering, I suppose.
I could whisper you a tale.
I mean, that could be. Would it be a good tale?
Sitting
like,
in a coffee.
Are we talking like, it's like camp,
we should have story
campfire
hour.
Story time.
Like we should do like a story hour episode where we all start. Somebody picks a topic, and then we have to talk for a minute. Then somebody, the next person, we should just have like a story episode. Like this would be an auxiliary episode where we do it for 10 minutes. One of us will start, speak for a minute. Then the next one goes, speaks for a minute. Then the next speaks for a minute. So we don't have to do that for 9 minutes.
It's a yes and episode. It has to be yes and. So like someone says something, the story's progressed, then somebody else continues the story.
Well, I start a story and I say, well, I was driving down the street the other day and I saw this crazy thing that appeared in my window, and then you would pick up James and go.
Yeah, it was a bird that was flying sideways.
There you go. See,
weirdest thing.
Schedule an episode. It will be story hour.
There you go.
Not really an hour, though.
Got stuck in a draft between a semi truck and my car, and just
James.
Make it sultry, like a sultry story that people can listen to.
Well, I got this new hard drive. It was a 1 terabyte hard drive. It had 15,000 RPM.
You're getting way too excited about the terabytes on that, my friend.
It was an SSD. And in a 3.5-inch bay.
Hey, just don't anybody ask him about his flash NAND, okay? All right. Guys, it's a lot of fun. When you're looking at your solutions and what you're doing, honest advice to everybody listening, use Android, use the iPhone ecosystem, the Apple ecosystem, whichever you prefer. As Brad says, you can try it before you buy it. But the thing is, trying Apple's ecosystem before you buy it, it relies on you using their return policy. You cannot rent that stuff.
You'll get sucked in.
And the only reason I hesitate to suggest somebody goes that direction, if you're not already in it, is
James. It doesn't matter. Once you go Mac, you never go back. I'm telling you, it is an amazing, amazing ecosystem.
I want you to know I've gone Mac multiple times and gone back each time.
You know, Microsoft is supporting the Mac ecosystem a lot. I mean,
At some point, the walls office, between these ecosystems are going to get broken down.
Office, wait, Teams.
VS Code. You can get a virtual desktop for Mac OS now.
You can dual boot, yes.
No. I'm telling you. I believe.
I use Parallels. I run Mac virtual machines within my Mac. I run Windows virtual machines on my Mac using Parallels. Amazing.
Yeah, and you can use Wine for Mac OS. Wine gives you an option to run Windows application on your Mac OS. But I'm pretty sure Microsoft allows you to run a full Mac OS environment as a service as well. And so if you're curious, I guess you can sign up for that. It's the Mac OS environment.
I haven't looked into that. It used to be a long time ago that the terms and services with OS X were that you could not virtualize it. Obviously, that's changed if they're allowing that, unless maybe they just updated the terms of services such that you can get it virtualized through them. I mean, that makes sense, I suppose. But that's cool. I haven't read up on that. That's good to know.
Yeah. No, it's certainly an option out there. Fun fact, I'm on I think 4 drinks already in with this Basil Hayden toast.
I'm still on my first drink.
Well, I mean, when you make it 1 gallon at a time, that's to be expected.
Oh, so good, man.
Well, what I have to say to you is something profound, James.
I like profound things. Let's do this.
So what I want to say to you to end the week is this. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Thank you.
Who said that? Tupac? Biggie?
Chris, how many feet are in a mile?
I don't know. 52,880. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. That has been the Weekly Whiskey and Widgets Podcast. Thank you.
All right, later, guys.
Peace out.